We're joined here in studio by Minister of State Robert Troy. Very good afternoon to you, Minister, and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Brian.
Now, as people will know, there have been a series of controversies in recent weeks around revelations of your property interests, of properties that you've bought and sold, of houses let to local authorities, and of properties you now admit not being disclosed as they should have been on the register of TD's interests. Perhaps you might outline at the outset for us, what properties do you own or have you owned since you were elected to the Dáil in 2011?
Can I start off, Brian, by apologising to my constituents, to my colleagues in government, my colleagues across the Dáil, to SIPO and to the public at large. And I do hold my hand up. I did make a very serious mistake. And to be frank, Brian, I'm embarrassed that I got it so wrong and that I needed such a comprehensive amendment to the statement of members' interests. And the root of the issue here is that I misinterpreted the requirements. I was wrongly under the impression that I only needed to declare the interests that I held on the 31st of December of a particular year, not the on an annualised basis.
Okay, and I'll come to that in a moment.
So I did have a number of... If I just could finish, Brian.
Yeah, I do want to come to that. Sorry, and there is plenty of time to deal with that. But maybe just you might lay out for our listeners what actually are your property interests and what have they been during this period since you became a TD?
Currently, I have six properties that I either own or part own. I have three properties that I own in my own name. One of those includes my constituency offices. And I have three other properties that I am in a partnership arrangement with. Within those holdings, one of the properties is sublet into three units and another property is sublet into four units. So in total, I've 11 properties at the moment, nine of which are rented out.
And in relation to the non-disclosure of, I think it was three properties during a number of years, your explanation for that is that you misunderstood, did you, the guidelines, the members' interest guidelines?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The root of the issue here is that I misinterpreted the guidelines. I was under the impression wrongly that it was only properties that was in my interest as of the 31st of a particular year that I needed to include. And that's why some properties were not fully accounted for.
And those properties were?
Those properties were... the property I sold at Ashfield Mullingar, it was accounted for 7 years. It wasn't accounted for in the 8 year, the year I sold it. The property at Oakcrest Mullingar, it was accounted for the year I purchased. It wasn't accounted for the year I sold it. The property in Longford was not included at all because I bought and sold it in the one particular year. And there was another property at Dublin Bridge that was included, but again, it wasn't included in the year that I disposed of that property. So. The actual point I'd like to make here, Brian, there is an allegation or a charge that somehow I tried to conceal my interests from the public, and that is factually incorrect. I, bar one property, have made reference to every other interest, every other property at some stage in my members' interest returns. I admit not fully, I admit in certain instances not in the right location, but I did not try to conceal any of my property interests in the lifetime of this, since I was elected
to
the Dáil.
Well, one of them you've admitted, because you bought and sold in the same year, never appeared anywhere.
That is correct. Yeah, but
so that was completely concealed.
No, that was, I did not try to conceal it. That was an error in my interpretation of the requirements.
Did you read the Register of Members' Interests before you signed it?
I think, Brian, to be honest, I'm guilty that I didn't give the process the due diligence that it deserved. And as a consequence of that, I didn't fully account for my interests.
So you didn't read the document before you signed it, is that right?
I didn't give it the due diligence that it deserves. And I hold my hand up. I admit that. I got it wrong. And I can assure you and your listeners that that's not something
I'll do again.
It
couldn't be clearer. That under property, for example, it says, quote, the following interests shall be registrable. Any interest in land of yours, which exceeds €13,000 at any time during the appropriate period, 1st January to 31st of December.
I accept that. I got it wrong. I'm not disputing that.
So you didn't read that then? Is that what you're saying to us?
What I'm saying to you today, Brian, and what I'm saying to your listeners is I got it very wrong. I made a mistake. I've held my hand up. And as soon as it was identified to me, Brian, I took time out and I prepared a comprehensive amendment to SIPO, which I've lodged with them since last Thursday. I thought I had got it right, but I didn't. I acknowledge that. I've now made the amendment, and I'm prepared to deal with SIPO in that context.
The property you did, the properties you did register, it turns out now, were incorrectly listed under occupation. There are different sections on the document, and you say now that on the advice of SIPTO, you've corrected that, and it's they're listed under property. Why did that arise? Why would you list properties, assets that you own, under occupation?
Because I was a landlord in some instances, receiving a rental income from that property, and I felt that if I had declared it in one location, I didn't need to declare in the other location.
And are there different disclosure requirements for occupational interests as aside to property?
If you're a landlord, there is a requirement that you include that occupation under occupation, but also the property in which you derive rental income from under land. And there's one point I'd might like to make on this, Brian, is because as a landlord, an allegation was made that I insisted on cash payments for the duration of a tenancy, which is something I have to refute fully. The insistence of cash has a lot of negative connotations about it. I have a signed affidavit from that previous tenant who was alleged to have made that allegation to contradict that, and as well as that, for a large proportion of that tenancy, the rental was paid by Westmeath County Council through a RAS agreement.
And for the period in which the rental wasn't paid by Westmeath County Council, how was that payment made?
That was made by cash at the request of the landlord, at the request of the tenant, and that tenant has signed a declaration to that effect. And the reason why he made that request was because he had a previous bad experience of a previous landlord who wouldn't come out and address defects in that property in a timely fashion, and he wanted to ensure that he could keep a connection between me as his landlord and him as the tenant. Right. So I totally refute that. And cash is a legal tender, and any cash that I did take was lodged and returned in my annual returns to and tax paid on it, Brian.
You also failed to declare your directorship of a company called RMT Management Limited, which I think was the company that at least some of these properties were vested in. Is that the case?
No, there was no properties vested in that company. That was a company that I used to manage the properties.
Okay, so why again did you fail to declare in the last year of its operation your interest in that company?
Because it boils back to the very point and the root of the issue here. I didn't feel that I had to declare something when it was disposed of in a particular year. If I did not have an interest in either a property or a company as of the 31st of December in that year, I did not declare it. I declared my directorship of RMT in 2019, in 2020, but I didn't declare it in 2021 because we had engaged in a voluntary strike-off.
You're winding it up.
The company had ceased trading
again,
and it was no longer in operation.
If we look at the statement of interest that you signed, you put your name to it. It says directorship or shadow directorship in any company held by you at any time during the appropriate period, 1st of January to 31st of December. Again, did you read that section before signing it?
Again, Brian, I can only admit that I got it badly wrong. I'm embarrassed at how wrong I got it, but it is fundamentally based on the misinterpretation that I had at the very beginning, and that was that I only needed to declare my interest as of the 31st of December. I now know that is not the case, and the minute it was brought to my attention, I carried out a comprehensive review of my interests, and I made a comprehensive statement to SIPO, and I'm willing to meet SIPO and engage with them on that basis.
All right. A number of your properties, and you've already alluded to this, were let or are let onto the rental accommodation scheme, which is operated by local authorities. How many RAS properties have you had? How many of these arrangements have you had, and with which local authorities?
In the lifetime of my time in the Dáil, I've had two rental agreement schemes. One predates my membership of the Dáil, and it currently exists. I'm in receipt of €780 per month for a two-bedroom property in Mullingar, so that property is Westmead County Council. And the other RAS agreement, it was in operation from August 2011, I think, till summer 2018, when the council actually bought that property from me. So at any the maximum that I ever had with the local authority under a RAS agreement was two. I want to be clear, I do have another agreement, which is the HAP payment, which I've five properties under HAP, but HAP is not required to be declared on the member's interest form, but I do have HAP payment for five properties at the moment.
And how much have you been paid under RAS, or the residential, the rental assistance scheme?
€780 per month for a two-bedroom townhouse in Mullingar, and that equates to €9,360. And that property is in joint name, so only 50% of that is relevant to me.
And when you've been availing of RAS, were you availing of that scheme when you spoke in the Dáil in relation to this, calling for increased funding for the scheme and looking for information about the uptake?
Well, I think what we have to put in context is that debate that you refer to. That's 2014. It was a debate on the Housing Miscellaneous Bill. And that bill, I took the opportunity to speak on a range of issues, the tenant purchase scheme, antisocial behaviour, domestic abuse.
But let's stick to RAS. You were availing of RAS when you spoke in relation to the scheme in the Dáil in 2014.
At that time, I had two RAS schemes, yes.
Did you declare that interest at the time?
But at the time, I didn't think I had to declare RAS on the member's interest statement.
Well, leaving that aside, just in the course of your speaking to the Dáil on this issue, did it occur to you that you should say, actually, I have an interest in this and this is my interest?
Well, I don't think, to be frank, I can leave it aside, because if I felt that it was a conflict of interest, I would have declared it. If I felt that the RAS agreement should have been on the member's interest, of course, naturally, I would have said that.
But you didn't feel it was a conflict of interest, benefiting from the scheme, but at the same time speaking about it.
I didn't feel it had to be declared on the member's interest, and I'll explain to you why I didn't feel it had to be included on the member's interest. The reason being that I felt the contract was between me and the tenant. It was the tenant. It was because of the tenant's circumstances that they were in receipt.
Well, the money was paid by the county council.
It was, as is the same
directly to you.
As is the same as with the HAP payment. The money is paid by the county council directly to the landlord, not just to me, to any landlord. But they do not have to be declared, because the relationship here is between the landlord and the tenant. I can accept while people are coming to.
So you had, sorry, just be clear, you, as far as you're concerned, you had no contractual relationship with Westmeath County Council in relation to these two RAS schemes?
There is a relationship with Westmeath County Council, that the council will pay a rent based on the tenancy of the person in their property.
So it's a contract between you and the county council?
It is, similarly
as contracts should be declared if they exceed £6,500?
Well, Brian, only 2 weeks ago when I was preparing for my returns, I rang SIPO, and SIPO were unable to say with clarity whether it had to be declared or not. They said that they would need to see the contract, and the reason why they said that was because a similar scheme, the HAP scheme, does not need to be declared. They wanted to see the contract, and in the avoidance of wasting time of getting the contract from the council, what I did was I included it. I included it on my amended statements because I didn't want, in the avoidance of any...
But not originally.
In the avoidance
When you addressed the Dáil in 2014 on these issues and taking a particular position in relation to the RAS scheme, you didn't think to declare the interest at that stage.
Brian, I addressed the Dáil on a miscellaneous housing bill. The way it's been portrayed is if I went into the Dáil and started kicking and screaming, wanting an increase of payments for myself personally. I addressed the Housing Miscellaneous Bill as a constituent TD, as an opposition TD, as somebody who works hard in their constituency and knows the challenges that people are facing at the moment. I know how sensitive an issue housing is for so many people, Brian. I deal with hundreds of constituents every month of the year. I know the challenges they face, and it was in that context that I spoke in the Dáil in 2014, articulating the views of my constituents.
You were talking about what you characterised as a lack of funding for a scheme for which you were directly a beneficiary.
But I was talking about, that was one point I made. I talked about domestic abuse victims. I talked about the tenant purchase scheme. Mm. I talked about antisocial behaviour. And I did raise the point that in 2014, that the price of rent was increasing, and that government would need to correspond with supports to ensure
more funding for RAS, of which you were a beneficiary,
to ensure that people could get access to housing. That was my motivating factor there, Brian.
The rent-a-room scheme, you've also in your statement last week said that you availed of that, and we know this was in your own private residence, and we know that there are restrictions around family members participating in that scheme. Were you compliant with all those rules, that there was no family member involved in that rent-a-room arrangement?
Most definitely.
All right, and you can be emphatic about that.
Without question.
The Residential Tenancies Board, this question of your failure to register what had been your former principal private residence, you let it in November 2021. When was it registered with the RTB?
In August of this year.
And why did that delay take place? Why did it take until August from last November to make that, and it's a requirement of the law, registration?
Just to say that my rental interests are managed by two letting agencies, one in Dublin, one in Mullingar. I'm not trying to push the blame onto somebody else. Ultimately, the responsibility rests with the landlord. But I had asked for that tenancy to be registered with the RTB. It was only in the context of the review of my interests for updating my members' interest that it became apparent
when this controversy arose,
that the registration hadn't been completed. We immediately set about completing it. We updated it, and we took advantage, because there is an opportunity on the RTB website to pay a late registration fee. So we've paid that. Everything is up to date with Banlacarrigy, and everything is up to date with every other property that I own.
Who is responsible, Minister, under the law to register a property with the RTB?
I've just said it, Brian. Ultimately, the responsibility rests with me. But when you ask somebody to do a job, you expect it to be done. Unfortunately, there was an error made on this occasion. It wasn't done. But when the error was identified, I can guarantee you that corrections took place, the tenancy has been registered, the late registration fee has been paid, and everything is in order.
But you accept that it's not the responsibility of the agent to ensure that a property is registered, it's the responsibility of the landlord, in this case you. And the likelihood is that if this controversy hadn't arisen, it would still be unregistered.
No, I don't think so, because at the end of the day, there's a new registration process in place that requires all properties to be registered on an annual basis. I think if this controversy hadn't arisen, it may have gone to November before it had been identified. But at that stage, it would have been noticed, and it would have been backdated, and the arrears would have been paid. And that's why there is a facility there, Brian. There's a facility there through the RTB that for every month you're late, you pay €10. So there's an acknowledgement there. Obviously, it's not best practice, and I accept
Certainly not.
But there is an acknowledgement there that if you do miss the deadline, you can back register it, and you can pay a fee of €10 a month for that late fee. I have done that on this occasion.
It's just that this is the law, and you're one of the people we elect to make the law.
I can't say it any clearer, Brian. I accept it was my responsibility. I asked somebody else to do it. Unfortunately, it was not done. It is done now.
Your properties, are they compliant with all regulations, including fire regulations?
Yes, they are.
And just a final question, Minister. You bought a property in Longford in May 2019, we've already referred to it, for €82,500, I think is the figure that's been quoted. And sold it then in August of that year, just 3 months later, for €163,000 to the County Council. You doubled your money in 3 months. How did you do that?
Well, firstly, if I can put it in context, that property was for sale on the open market for 12 months before I purchased it through White's Auctioneers for €69,950. I bought it for €82,500. The property was in an uninhabitable state. The roof needed repairs, ceilings was falling in, kitchen needed repairs, upgrade to the heating system. There was doors hanging off the hinges. So there was a substantial amount of work to be done. So with that work, and with the professional fees associated with the acquisition, with the sale, and the auctioneer's fees, I sold it for €163,000. I sold it on the open market through a local auctioneer. He advertised it, and that was the going rate for that property at the time.
You did all that work, engaged in that expense, in just 3 months?
Yes, because I was aware that the sale was closing and I had the necessary contractors lined up, ready to go, so I could get the work done in a timely fashion.
Would you like to tell us how much you cleared at the end of the day?
I cleared before tax 36,000.
Minister Robert Troy, thanks for talking to us here.
If I could, yes? Brian, just before I finish, I want to say that I take full responsibility for my errors. As soon as they were identified to me, I amended my returns. I have said to the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, I am very happy to address the Dáil and answer any questions on this issue. I'm happy to meet SIPO. I'm happy to meet the RTB. I'm an open book. I have absolutely nothing to hide. I never tried to conceal anything and I never tried to use my public position for private gain. But I do believe the forum to deal with this is either in the Dáil, with RTB or with SIPO. And I don't believe the forum is for journalists calling to my wife's parents' home or to the homes of my tenants currently. I don't think that's fair and I will make myself available in September to the Dáil, to SIPO and to the RTB.
All right. Well, in the meantime, thanks for talking to us here on the News at One, Minister Robert Troy.